Hi, this is Pete Brown, and I'm here with Mike Wolf and Rick Barraza from Synergy. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourselves and what you have to show today?
Sure. So I'm Mike Wolf. I'm a principal architect for Synergy Systems. We're the global leader in rich internet applications, Silverlight, WPF, Surface, touch technologies. And Rick?
I'm Rick Barraza. I'm the experience architect at Synergy, where I focus on a lot of the actual UI side, the experience side of things.
Cool. So what you got?
So what we have here is a pretty interesting Surface application we recently did, and Rick was the lead on that, so I'll let him talk about it.
Well, we got a phone call around 2 weeks before it needed to be released from the San Jose Tech Museum, the people that are running Star Trek The Exhibition, and they just purchased a Surface table, and the exhibit was going live in 2 weeks, and they asked if we could help them do this kind of miracle run. And so we developed this application in Surface. Coding on Surface, it's basically coding in WPF against the Surface APIs. So what we actually did is a Surface application that comes with two learning modules. You can either go to Earth or you can go to Vulcan, and it has the classic Star Trek computer interface. So this is running currently on an emulator, but it's in the Surface in the museum exhibit. And students come in, and if you click on Earth, you get to pick your destination.
Cool effects. So how'd you do the effects there?
That was writable bitmaps and blurs. Actually, on my blog post, I talk about how doing that in Silverlight, but it's a very similar solution in WPF. So this is all straight WPF, no XNA or anything special. It's just traditional WPF on the Surface API. So if you go to Earth, this learning module, the students could slide it, or they can click the explicit back and next buttons, or jump to one of the slides down below. But it was teaching them the science of Star Trek, motion, inertia, general relativity, special relativity. So we also created all of the content for this slide as well. So it was a very, very exhaustive 2 weeks from doing all the design, all the development, and all of the content as well. But we made it in time. We flew up there the day before it opened. We installed it on their brand new Surface machines. And Friday, students started coming in and they started playing with it right away. Everybody liked it. There was also another module we built. If you go to Vulcan, you can either slide or use the interface.
Right. So how do you like working inside the Surface emulator here?
Mike?
So there's a lot of things about it. And this is very similar to developing a Windows 7 touch application. Emulator is really efficient. You can work with your own tools and your own machine. The downfall is it's not a Surface.
Yeah. Right.
And so you can do multi-touch, you can do single touch, but at the end of the day, this is not a Surface. And when I touch it, my physical fingers are different size to the interface than it would be on the physical Surface.
Right.
And so there's definitely, and same thing with Windows 7, you know, there's tools out there to emulate multi-touch, but it's not the same as poking your screen and the testing phase of that.
I agree. However, I would say I work from home, and for the most part, and actually the emulator comes in really handy for maybe the first 70% of the project, because I do all of my comps, you know, from Photoshop to Blend to WPF. And the emulator is good enough for me to test and make sure a lot of the code's working, but I don't do any of my fine-tuning on the emulator. So usually this was a two-week project. I'd say 10 of those days I was working from home on the emulator, and just the last couple days I go into actually fine-tune and weight the animations, the physics, how much throw you want to give. That you all have to do exactly like Mike was saying on the actual machine so you can feel the hardware responsiveness.
So no Surface in the basement?
Not in my house yet.
No. Still trying to convince my wife to get one.
to that point, though, and to play up the discussion about this being WPF, is often when we make Surface applications, they start as true blue WPF applications.
Absolutely.
And we just really engage in WPF application because the developer experience is really nice, and then bring it into the Surface emulator to finish it out, then bring it to a Surface test it out.
So you find like the skills for coding WPF, you know, for desktop applications is very similar to what you do in Surface.
Yeah, our developer base that is a Surface developer is a WPF developer who is a Silverlight developer. It's the same developer base, same spectrum, same tools.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
We also, one thing on the Surface we did, besides the two main modules, which anybody can access, is the exhibit also has certain rides, like you can do the board ride. There's upsell items. So with the Surface being there, we created these Admiral passes for all of the museum docents. So the Admiral passes have a ID tag on the back of them.
Very cool.
So you can't get to this section unless a docent comes up and drops their Admiral's pass on in it. But if they do, it brings in a Kobayashi Maru super fan quiz that we made. And especially on opening night, this was really popular because they had people dressed as Klingons. I mean, you can tell all of the main fans came out of the woodworks. To the exhibit, so we were using the Admiral's Pass a lot, and just letting them run the quiz was really fun. This was probably one of the most engaging aspects to it. And what's nice about the Surface and ID tags is you can kind of have that tiered experience where, based on passes, based on your ID, you can get into VIP sections that the general audience can't do. So Mike's not doing very well.
No, I'm a Star Wars guy. Sorry.
So, anyways, you probably close that.
A Star Wars guy and a Star Trek guy at the same table.
You don't want to show all the questions. You don't want to show all the questions on video.
We don't like to talk about that.
So,
did you guys find any limitations or anything that you had to do differently, or like? Tell me a little bit about a couple of the warts that you had in this.
Sure. There is one challenge that you're working on the Surface that we ran into early on. Even last year, some of the stuff you were showing at MIX09 and South by Southwest is, for me, one of the things is audio, especially the way WPF handles sound. Yeah. And again, Mike's a much better architect and programmer in WPF. I'm very new to the Microsoft stack, but even for Mike and hitting around, how you have the media element fire sounds in WPF it's good for single events if you're doing one at a time, but you have to remember on a Surface it can support up to 52 simultaneous contact points. So if you're doing an application that fires a sound whenever anybody wants to touch the screen, all of a sudden your application will need to handle playing 52 sounds, up to possibly 52 sounds at the same time. And it's just one of those problems that the way WPF was written, now we're in an aspect where hardware and software are merging together, and hardware is allowing a level, an order of magnitude of events that we're not used to programming for. So we used N-Audio, was it? We used an N-Audio DLL on this one because we had used it previously on another solution. I was comfortable with it, so we only had 2 weeks, so we didn't have time to look for a better solution, or maybe it's gotten better.
So N-Audio is
an audio framework managed to go down to native audio.
Is it built just for Surface? Or?
Nope, it's a .NET framework. It's on CodePlex. And the same tool you could use in WPF, Surface, WinForms.
Same
in
code.
Fact, you can use it on the server to play audio, generate an audio graph, and save that as an image, and then spit it back over an HTTP handle.
Interesting. Okay.
In fact, we have a Flex application currently that's using the same .NET technology, crossing from not only server, but then pushing it down to a completely different type of client.
Very cool. So straight .NET code that wasn't built specifically for Surface, you guys are using here to make things faster for you.
Yep, exactly.
Very nice.
And probably, again, the developing in Surface, and there's a lot of people who aren't, well, a lot of people don't even realize the Surface table is literally just a Windows table with an extra layer of hardware where you have the 7 cameras and they're doing the touch motion. But at the end of the day, when you boot up a Surface table, it fires up Windows and you switch to the Surface experience. So if you're a WPF programmer, you're very prepared to work on Surface. You just need to have access either to the emulator or start working on the components. It's an additional SDK, but it's a WPF.
And agreed. And what's interesting is that technology pushing technology, the skills you learn in Surface apply to now Windows 7. And as we get more and more touch points, understanding how to dev and design around 10 plus touch points is going to be pretty crucial.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So what's next for you guys?
That we can talk about?
What's next that you can talk about?
let's see, there are a couple really cool things that we're looking forward to. We're creating technology rooms in both the San Diego and DC office, and multi-touch is a big theme there. We have a Surface in each one of those client rooms, and so there are a couple applications that we're designing. In fact, this week, Mike and I are chatting about those, and in a month or so, we'll I think, be able to start leaking some ideas about it, but we'd like to move multi-touch, augmented reality, and kind of really gestural interfaces and kind of really start pushing the boundary more. I think we've stayed away from scatter view because every Surface application and now every Windows 7 and every Silverlight, you know, there's usually a scatter view experience. I personally like to stay away from that at this point, selfishly, because I like pushing the boundaries. And I think we usually try and do that. And there's some really cool things we have in the works.
And I mean, we're seeing a lot of customers come to us now, seeing these new things in Windows 7, Surface getting more visibility, that we're seeing a dramatic increase in both Silverlight and WPF.
Yeah.
We're kind of busting at the seams.
Yeah, so you guys have developers that do Silverlight, WPF, Surface. It's pretty much all the same skill set. You're able to use them across all those projects.
Same skill set. Designers who design for Surface, although there's design implications, designing for Surface and multi-touch versus single input Silverlight, same people, same roles, just understanding the medium they're working on.
Okay, cool.
And that's a good thing, I think, on the workflow, is that since we have a lot of different developers with a lot of different skill sets based on the project and based on the team, the workflow's been able to adapt, I think, very well, where we can have designers who can go all the way down into Blend and Storyboard and hand off to a developer who takes it from there on a lot of projects, maybe much more traditional projects where you're skinning controls. And then on a project like this, where it's much more of a unique one-off type project, and if myself or somebody like me is involved, usually our graphic designers will hand off at the Photoshop level, and then I'll take it. You know, I'll take it from that level. But our company's really set up to adapt to different types of workflows, and the Microsoft stack, I think, allows it along the way.
The designer-developer workflow has multiple tiers and multiple roles. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Yeah, the way you would develop something like this, and in a radically short time frame, I think 2 weeks from literally getting the phone call to, you have 2 weeks, we have no idea what we want, come up with the idea, design it, develop it, build it, and deploy it. If you're doing something like that, it is a completely different workflow, a completely different project management style when you're doing these types of really fast, high-impact turnarounds than if a client came to us and say, we're at version 2 in ASP.NET, you want to get to version 3 in Silverlight. It's an entirely different process. And I think Synergy, we go across the spectrum on that, but we always use the same tools. I think that's an important point for Microsoft, in that the workflow is adaptable, that you can do these very radical, really fast, you know, high-impact turnaround jobs, while at the same time go all the way up to the stable enterprise that you and your team.
And, cool. And the tool sets are the same, both from a designer developer, designer working in Creative Suite and an Expression Suite, and developers working in Expression and Visual Studio. It's this gamut of the same tools they're used throughout.
Great. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.